America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. I want to talk to you today about the point of no return. Years and years ago, I heard a sermon by Dr. Adrian Rogers on the unpardonable sin, the only sin that God will not forgive, Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus talked about that sin that you can't be forgiven for, and that sin is rejecting the forgiver. And if you reject the forgiver with your eyes wide open, with the Holy Spirit convicting you, showing you who Jesus is, and you still say no, you walk away from that, well, then you've committed the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is rejecting the pardoner. And so in that sermon he was talking about, he introduced it by saying that there was a particular beach. I'm wanting to say it was in Scotland, but it was in some part of the world. And he said that at this place, the tide would come in very quickly, and you could feel like you were just walking on the shore. And if you weren't careful, you could get yourself in trouble. So he said, as people would venture out when the tide was out, come across a sign that said, "Do not pass this point," because that was the point of no return. If you got past that point and the tide started coming in, you weren't going to be able to get back to the stairs to get to safety. And he shared about people that went past the point of no return, and when the tide came in, they began to panic, and they were washed away in the tidewaters because you could not get back. The point of no return. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Chronicles about the point of no return, and it depicts for us. My Bible says Judah's decline, 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And so, you know, Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes that made up the nation of Israel were also called Samaria, called Ephraim. Those are the same places. They were wiped out in 722 because of their sin. God brought judgment through the Assyrians. And the Assyrians, the way they did things, when they would conquer you, they would intermingle other peoples with your people. And so what happened, the Jews started to mingle with the Gentiles, and you had Samaritans, which are Jewish half-breeds, half-Jew, half-Gentile. And in the New Testament times, we see that Jews have no dealings with Samaritans because they said that they're half-breeds. If you remember that song by Cher, half-breed, that's all I ever heard. Well, that's kind of what the Jews thought of the Samaritans. You are sellouts, you're compromisers, you used to be Jewish, and now you've intermingled with the Gentiles. We don't want to have anything to do with you. Well, that happened in 722 BC. Well, Judah, the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, that made up the southern kingdom, well, they saw what happened to their neighbors to the north, the northern kingdom, but the same sins that the northern kingdom engaged in, the southern kingdom engaged in, and God said, okay, I'm going to pull the plug on you. You didn't learn through what happened to the northern kingdom. And this is what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, beginning in verse 14. It says, "Furthermore, all the officials of the priests and the people were very unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they defiled the house of the Lord, which he had sanctified in Jerusalem." They set up idols in the actual temple, Just sickening. They defiled the house of the Lord, which he had sanctified in Jerusalem, set that apart for his holiness and his glory. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of God arose against his people, until there was no remedy. They went past the point of no return. He goes on to say in verse 17, therefore he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, that's Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or infirm. He gave them all into his hand, all the articles of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his officers. He brought them all to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God, that happened in 586 BC, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and burned all its fortified buildings with fire, and destroyed all its valuable articles. Those who had escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the king of Persia, Cyrus the Great, in 539 BC, allowed the Jews to go back when the Medo-Persian Empire destroyed the Babylonians and conquered the Babylonians. It says, so he allowed them, they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation, it kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete. They were supposed to let the land every seventh year. You don't farm the land. Because the land was to have a Sabbath rest, but they didn't do that. And God was marking all the times they disobeyed him. And so they were 70 years in captivity until the land enjoyed its Sabbaths. Because it's, as Adrian Rogers had once said, you know, you can give the tithe or God will extract the tithe. And what was their tithe as it related to the land? Hey, on the seventh year, you don't farm. But they didn't do that. And so the Lord brought judgment. They passed the point of no return. They did not listen and heed the messengers of God. They didn't heed the word of God. They mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets. Now, think about how Nineveh responded to the preaching of Jonah. They didn't mock, they didn't scoff, they repented. They put themselves in sackcloth and ashes. They fasted, they didn't drink nothing to drink. Don't drink or don't eat for 3 days, and they didn't. And they fasted before the Lord and they cried out for mercy. And God responded. When God saw that they had repented, and God saw the way they responded, then guess what? God relented concerning the evil he said he was going to bring upon them, and he did not do it. God, I've said this so many times, God does not want to judge. He wants to save. He wants to redeem. He's a redeemer. If you respond to the grace of God, if you respond to the message that judgment is coming, the Lord will be gracious to you. The thief on the cross is proof of that. He knew he was dying for his crimes and his sins, but he repented on the cross. And what did the Lord do? He had grace and mercy for him. He saved him. Now, I ran across a clip this morning from Melanie Phillips. Melanie Phillips is a Jewish lady, a Jewish historian and a commentator, kind of a philosopher. She has great things to say. I love her insights on things. And so the clip was entitled "The Ideology Destroying the West." And this is what, it's a short clip, but what Melanie Phillips has to say, because it is so true.
Liberal universalism, secular humanism, is now the religion. And it's led us to hell in a handcart because we are disintegrating as a shared society, as a shared culture. And not just disintegrating in terms of warring tribes, but disintegrating in the sense that we no longer have a moral compass at all. And the source of our greatness. These things depended upon the moral values of the Hebrew Bible mediated by Christianity, because that is the scaffolding of a culture. We have knocked down the scaffolding almost completely of Western civilization, and then we're a bit concerned about why it seems to be tottering. You have to restore the scaffolding, unpopular as that sounds.
You have to restore the scaffolding, and the scaffolding comes from society being built on the Word of God. When you do life and you do society and you set up a nation as America was set up, people that say, oh, America's not a Christian nation, it was set up on the Bible, on Christian principles. Most of those guys that were the founding fathers were outspoken Christians, and those who weren't, as we had Professor Lilbach on the program, he was talking about the fact that these guys were, you know, the idea that they were deists, he said, well, they were soft-shell deists at the very worst, because they believed in prayer. Full-blown deist doesn't believe in prayer. What's the point? God has gone fishing. He doesn't care. He doesn't answer prayer. So if Benjamin Franklin was a deist, he was a very soft-shell deist, because he's the one that pushed them to pray. We need to pray. Hey, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And if a house is not built without the Lord, how is a nation going to be built without the Lord? So what Melanie Phillips is saying is so true. Unless we return to the Word of God, the will of God, the ways of God, unless we repent, repent therefore and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. If we don't do that, and we say, no, we're going to do it our own way, well, we're going to be shocked. We shouldn't be, but we're going to be shocked when judgment comes, and it will come. I was talking to a friend of mine, Lonnie, just Monday night, and he was asking me about the quote from Ruth Bell Graham. And the quote is, she said to Billy as she was reviewing one of his manuscripts for one of his books, and she was reading about some things and the sins of America, and she said, you know, if God does not judge America, he's going to have to issue an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was asking me, he said, well, I mean, that doesn't sound right. I said, well, here, this is what she meant by that. Not that she was scolding God or anything like that. She was just saying, hey, we need to wake up as Americans, because God did judge Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, those cities of the plain where Lot lived. He did judge them for their abominations, mainly for the sin of sodomy, and the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly, the Bible says in Genesis 13, and sinners against the Lord. God did judge them, and he judged them in a very emphatic way. Fire and brimstone came down from heaven. The Bible says in 2 Peter that God did that as an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. So if God judged them and America is every bit as sinful as they are, well, she's just saying, for sure we're in the crosshairs of God's judgment. And the only way to get out of that and to escape that is to repent, is to follow in the footsteps of Nineveh and the king of Nineveh and the people of Nineveh, and repent and fast and pray and cry out to God for his mercy. We need to rebuild the scaffolding, and the scaffolding has come down. Now, I like Scott Jennings of CNN. I like what he has to say, and as he is on that panel. And listen to this. This was a great clip.
We don't need, you know, the trouble with subtlety is that not everybody gets it. We need unsubtle communicators, people who will tell the truth in an unsubtle, plain-spoken fashion, because there is a market out there. People are desperate for people who will dump the pablum and get serious about the crisis and the emergency that this country is in. That's why Trump won. And when he's gone, the people who win again, they'll never be able to emulate or replicate it. But the one lesson is, do not be subtle, do not pull your punches, and do not let them pull the wool over the eyes of the American people when it comes to the crisis that we face.
I like that, because I don't like subtlety. I don't like this word nuance that has crept into pulpits. Well, that's a very nuanced, very, very complex. So many issues, not complex. They're black and white. And we need to, especially as pastors, as preachers, we need to call those things out. We need to make it very clear. Thus says the Lord, and call men, women, boys, and girls to repentance. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the question, have we passed the point of no return? As that illustration says, you know, that beach somewhere in Europe, I think it was in Scotland, where if you went out too far, you would hit a sign that says, do not pass this point, because when the tide comes in, it's going to come in too fast for you. You will be in serious danger. And, you know, God is marvelously patient, but his patience does not last forever. I preached a sermon years ago on Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar was the king there in Babylon, and I called it when God's patience runs out. Remember, he's the guy that was mocking God as the enemy, the Medo-Persian army, was all around Babylon. They were besieging the city, but Babylon had the huge walls, and they said, well, who can get in here? And we have enough water and grain, and so what? You can besiege our city. We're not concerned about it. But then he saw the hand writing on the wall, meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin, which in Terminator speak, it's hasta la vista, baby. That's what that means. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. You're done, pal. God's patience ran out on King Belshazzar. And so God is marvelously patient, but he's not limitless in his patience. And we can cross a line with God where he says, that's enough. You know, in Genesis 6, the Lord saw that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And he was grieved in his heart, sorry in his heart that he made man. And he said, I'm going to destroy man and all the beasts, everything that breathes air, I'm going to destroy it. And he started over with Noah. Noah found favor, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God did. He destroyed it. He destroyed that antediluvian world with a flood. And that's the same God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some people say, well, God just seems so, he seems so judgmental and just, you know, short-tempered in the Old Testament. He's not. He's very patient. This was going on for hundreds of years. And finally, God said, enough is enough. Listen, if you were God, if I were God, everybody'd be wiped out because our patience would snap. We'd be like, hey, I'm doing all this stuff for you and this is how you're treating me. You're biting the hand that feeds you. We wouldn't handle that well at all. What does the Lord say about himself? Genesis or Exodus chapter 34, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Aren't you glad that God is slow to anger, that he's very patient with us? Now, we don't want to presume upon his patience, but God is very, very patient. But listen, our world is so upside down. And as Melanie Phillips said, we have torn down the scaffolding and you've taken down the fence and you didn't ask yourself, well, why was the fence there? And now all of a sudden, as the poem says, how does that go? What was that? It's knocking. Here's how it goes. Who is it knocks so low? A lonely little sin. Slipped through, I answered, and soon all hell was in. We took down the scaffolding, we took down the fence, and what do you have? You have all hell coming in. And, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, Romans chapter 1, God gives that society over to a reprobate mind, a mind that no longer functions. We talk about that a lot on the program because it seems like every day you just have more illustrations of a reprobate mind. Now, something big in the news with a reprobate mind is this whole idea of biological men playing female sports. We've talked about it a lot. Everybody's talking about it. If you look on social media, what's being discussed, it is that. Hats off to Stephen A. Smith, who weighed in on this and said, I'm not letting this go. You don't let biological men play in the WNBA. But here is the issue that the WNBA has. Your part, the WNBA is overrun with lesbians. Something like half the players are lesbians, 45%, based on what AI Grok was telling me. Roughly 45% of the players, might be more than that, are lesbians. 33% of the coaches are lesbians, many of them married to a woman married to another woman. Stephanie White, the Indiana Fever coach, who would not say when was asked about biological men playing, in female sports, she said, I'm not educated enough to give an answer on that. It's like Ketanji Jackson Brown saying, the Supreme Court justice, I can't answer that question. And what is a woman? Because I'm not a biologist. And it's like, well, good night, my 5-year-old grandson's not a biologist either. I think he can answer the question, what is a woman? He knows the difference between a woman and a man. But Stephanie White wouldn't, I can't answer that question. I'm not qualified enough to answer that question. And then you have the other coach, that Cheryl Reeve, that wears, she coached and president of business operations for the Minnesota Lynx. She wears to the game a shirt that says, trans kids belong. They do belong. They belong in the counselor's office, in the psychiatrist's office. They are believing lies. They have a mental problem that will destroy them. And anybody who really loves them will help them not to transition, but will help them to accept the way they are made. And I ran across this. Let me see if I can find it. I thought this was just great. You see these little memes and you're like, man, that's very clever and helpful. It's one of those things when you look for it, you can't find it. But basically, I have another place I can look. It had to do with, you know, you want us to accept you. You're saying, hey, you need to accept us. This is who we are. And, you know, it's like, well, you don't accept yourself. And so, yeah, here it is. Dear trans community, don't tell me I have to accept you for who you are when you couldn't accept yourself for who you were. I mean, they were born a biological male. They don't want to accept themselves for who they were. And so now, hey, I'm somebody else. You need to accept me for who I am now. And no telling what you're going to be a year or two from now. Now, these kids that are being lied to, Chloe Cole, a good example, lied to, and then having surgery and taking all these drugs, and then coming to her senses, coming out of the ether and saying, wait a minute, what is this? What did I do? What did people encourage me to do? Well, they encouraged me to alter myself irreparably and do irreparable harm to myself. That is the furthest thing from love. So getting back to the WNBA, so when you have all these lesbians in this league, you're part of the LGBTQIA plus community. There is tremendous pressure to promote the trans ideology. That's why you have a coach that will wear that shirt, trans kids belong. Hey, see, I'm for the team. Because they don't want to go against that. And as Caroline Levitt said, you know, this is an 80-20 issue in America. 80% of Americans say, yeah, we don't want biological men in female sports. Now, Clay Travis, the guy, the founder of OutKick Sports, you know, he was the one that issued just yesterday or the day before, he issued a challenge to the WNBA. He said, I'll pay you $10 million to play a high school boys team that I get to put together. And $10 million. You can, they'll play the Las Vegas Aces, the team that won last year, the champions. We'll play them. And they'll play against high school kids, 17-year-old, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. I'll get them together. Let's see who wins, and you get $10 million. I think it's win or lose, you get $10 million. And they don't want to do that because I think they would get destroyed. And because men are different, even boys are quicker, stronger, faster, can jump. Than women. And so here is the take. Clay Travis posted this. So this Minneapolis news anchor, her name is Jane Shortle, and she looks like a guy. I did some research on her. Yes, she is a lesbian married to a woman, and you just look at her and say, okay, you're trying to look like a guy. But this is what she had to say. Her take on the offer from Clay Travis for the $10 million.
One last thing tonight. The entire world of women's sports is facing the debate within its own leagues of who should get to play and who should not. And a voice that often shouts loudly in that debate is a right-leaning outlet owned by Fox News called OutKick Sports. And today its founder took to a new stunt, one that really makes no sense if OutKick is really concerned about caring about women and women's sports. So Clay Travis, he's the man behind OutKick. He announced today he's offering $10 million to the winner of a game of basketball between a high school boys team of his choosing and the WNBA defending champions, the Las Vegas Aces. I thought to myself, why? But obviously the answer is because he thinks it is so impossible for any group of women, let alone the best in the game, that they could ever beat younger and more inexperienced boys. It's a thinly veiled sexist joke, revealing the actual truth of how he and his organization feel about women's sports. It's not about caring about them. They think women's sports are a joke. Good night.
So she totally misses the point. It's not that we think women's sports are a joke. It's that we think women ought to compete against women. And if you saw somebody put together a clip of elite female athletes, Martina Navratilova, and the current number one tennis player from Belarus, Arena Sabaluka, whatever her name is. I wrote it down, but I can't read my own writing. They come on and they say, well, yeah, I don't want to compete against men because it's not fair. Listen to these elite female athletes, Billie Jean King, Martina Navratilova, and Serena Williams, and others.
For me, tennis and men's tennis and women's tennis are completely almost two separate sports.
That's Serena. Have never said we're better than the guys. The guys are better.
If I were to play Andy Murray, I would lose 6-0, 6-0.
I couldn't do that.
Okay, this is like depressing watching that.
The men are a lot faster.
Men are just stronger, bigger.
They have a better skeletal system.
Biologically much stronger.
They serve harder. Their
hearts are bigger.
What?
We've never said we're better than the men.
Because these are like skills that I could never do.
Or as good even.
I think it's just not fair to a woman to basically face biologically men.
Very humbling. Because a lot of them did stuff.
Our own gymnastics are better than we did.
Those are gymnasts talking about men.
I only want to play girls because I don't want to be embarrassed.
That's Serena. She only wants to play girls because she doesn't want to be embarrassed, because the number one player at that time, she said he'd beat me 6-0, 6-0. I could never return his serve. And as I said, the number one player from Belarus said, hey, I'm all for this this test that we're going to do to determine, I guess it's to determine your chromosomes. And you have to take that test to determine that you're female. And if you don't, you're not going to be able to play because it's a... It's women's tennis. And I like what Nancy Mace said. She sounded off on what's going on in the WNBA. And she said, well, there is a W in there. Do we not know what the W stands for? And so this is her post today. I really liked it. It said, to Minnesota Lynx coach Cheryl Reeve, there is no such thing as a trans kid. You're born either a boy or a girl, end of story. The mentally ill men you are sticking up for are the reason female athletes are being put in the hospital. We stand with Sophie Cunningham, who has shown up for young girls across this country to protect them in their own sports. This shouldn't be a debate. This should be common sense. Lunatics on the left are pushing men into girls' sports and locker rooms. Radical coaches are showing up to games wearing trans kids belong shirts, all in the name of inclusivity, when in reality, it's a direct attack on women and it threatens their safety, but they don't care. Well, they may care, but they're getting a lot of pressure. Remember, you're part of the LGBTQ community because you're a lesbian. And if you go against the grain of that, there is pressure. That's what's going on in the WNBA. She goes on to say, this is Nancy Mace, we don't know how protecting girls in their own sports became hateful and racist, but here we are. Call us whatever you want. Trans women do not belong in women's sports, and you will never convince us otherwise. We will never stop fighting to protect your daughters. Never. I like that from Nancy Mace. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And when we come back from the break, we'll be opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, I'd love to hear from you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
At Blue Mountain Christian University, undergraduate and graduate degrees can be completed fully online across a range of academic fields. From business and education to technology and healthcare, programs are designed for learners who want the flexibility of online study without coming to campus. courses are offered in 8-week sessions. Learn more at bmc.edu. Move mountains at Blue Mountain Christian University.
One of the greatest concentrations of young people and one of the most fertile missionary fields is the community of students in public schools. And we have a way to reach them. It's Truth for Youth Bible Week with Revival Fires International.
I'm so happy that my friend gave me the Truth for Youth Bible. It healed so many emotional hurts that I had. It changed my life.
More than 30,000 young people have received Christ over the years with the help of the Truth for Youth Bible. We'll give one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend.
And there was even a comic in there that talked about the dangers of witchcraft in ways that I never even considered. And there was a page in Truth for Youth that showed me how to give my heart to Jesus. I just prayed and Jesus forgave me of my sins.
Visit tfy.org anytime or call 800-733-4737 between 8:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. to order or donate. It's Truth for Youth Bible Week with Revival Fires International and American Family Radio.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
When I was feeling the stress of too much credit card debt, I looked at two different options, debt settlement and debt management. They may sound the same, but guess what? They're not. Debt settlement seemed like a quick fix, but I found out it would destroy my credit, create tax headaches, and hit me with huge fees. They actually told me to stop paying my bills. No way, not me. Then I turned to a debt management plan developed by the team at Trinity. They worked with my creditors, lowered my payments, reduced my interest, saved me thousands, and paid off my debt. And Trinity is a Christian company, which is important to me.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Heather. Please forget debt settlement and remember Trinity Debt Management.
1-800-788-1813.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And as you heard, Truth for Youth Bible Week is this week. And we want to get the Bibles out into the schools. And so you can go online and get a Truth for Youth Bible sent free of charge to your student. And your student can take it to high school and put it in the hand of a friend. Go to tfy.org. To find out more, or call 800-733-4737, and your donations go to help Revival Fires as they get the Bibles out. And Tim Todd, who is on the program on Monday, great opportunity to impact students with the Word of God. Well, we're going to the phone lines as we've been talking about the point of no return. We don't want to get as a nation to the point of no return where judgment is going to come. And as the Lord says in Ezekiel chapter 18, I believe it's verse 32, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. And if we repent, well, we receive God's mercy. That happens to an individual. That happens to a family. That happens to a community. That can happen in a nation if we will repent and turn to the Lord. Well, we'd love to hear from you, and the phone lines are heating up, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, love to get your call. And so we have our friend Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
God bless you, Pastor Jeff, and thank you that I got through. You know, you're talking about Romans. It says, talks about a nation or a people that once knew God and then turned away from Him. That's America to the T. You know, I have never seen on the news every night in this country there's a flash flood, there's a tornado all summer long. God is trying to get people's attention. Mm-hmm. And the thing that really bothers me and is bringing this stuff on, we're living in a nation where the Church of God has turned against God Himself. Mm-hmm. You know, it was once said the greatest the greatest thing that God ever done is, for mankind, is to make us in his image. The worst thing that we ever done for God, the greatest insult we ever done to God, is that we made God in our image.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, God is trying to get people's attention, like you say. And, you know, I think the truth's the truth. Look what's happened in Washington State, in California, in Oregon. Liberal people that, you know, that have turned against God. And, you know, I don't even watch sports anymore. Sports is not about sports. It's about homosexual rights. And mm-hmm. look at the church. We got homosexual preachers in the mm-hmm. pulpit, and people going to listen to them every week. Instead of turning on a good, godly preacher like you, they're turning, listening to people that are against God. Yeah. God help this nation. I think we may have gone too far already. If we're not, I'm shocked that we're not.
Great point, Lee. You make some really great points. And, you know, here's the thing about God. I mean, if you have breath in your lungs, which we still do, there's still time to repent. And the thief on the cross had time to repent. Now, Jesus was crucified between two thieves. One repented, one did not. I like what one preacher said, you have three crosses there on Mount Calvary, and one man is dying in sin, and the middle cross, the Lord Jesus is dying for sin, and the repentant thief is dying freed from sin because he put his faith and trust in Jesus. And so there is time, there's opportunity. Nineveh was wicked to the core. But when they repented, Jonah chapter 3, God relented and God did not judge them. Now, judgment came to Nineveh eventually, but it was stayed by their repentance. So always a joy to talk to you, Lee. Thank you, brother. You always have great insights, and so I appreciate you. Well, we have Greg on the line from Kentucky. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, thank you for your ministry. I listen as often as I can.
God bless you, brother.
So my question is this. I'm grateful that you pull to our attention this trans ideology, and it's a battle we need to fight. Is there one ideology that you see that is at the core, the foundation of their scaffolding that you referenced earlier in the show, that maybe warrants more of our attention? I mean, there's so many, you know, there's the invasion of Islam into our country, right. The educational system, what's happening there, abortion, many fronts we're being attacked on. But is there one that if you could direct Christians to, hey, let's focus our efforts here, how would you answer that?
Yeah, great question, Greg. Well, I would agree with Ken Ham, you know, answers in Genesis. So it all goes back to God and his word. The devil hates God. He hates the word of God. He hates Israel because in the word of God, God chose Israel, made promises to Israel. So it all goes back to the attack is going to be on the word. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And so there will be a questioning of the word of God, a diluting of the word of God, an attack on the word of God. And as Ken Ham says, it starts in the book of Genesis. So the first 11 chapters of Genesis are the foundation for everything. And if you don't start there, as the scripture makes it clear, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of everything. And if you reject the fear of God, you don't recognize God as being God. And as my pastor said, what is the fear of the Lord? It's putting God, giving God his rightful place as king and taking your rightful place as doulos, as slave. And if you refuse to do that, then everything unravels. I've often said that the fear of the Lord is the first button on your shirt. And if you get that first button wrong for a man, you know, I'm wearing a button-up shirt right now. You get that first button off, I don't care how well you do the others, your shirt is off. And you got to get that first button right. And so That's what I would say. And Christians, the sad reality is, Greg, Christians don't know what the Bible says. They're not spending time reading the Bible. And the Bible is very clear on these issues that we are talking about and debating. Obviously, I mean, there are no-brainer issues about men and women. Your sex is your gender, and your gender is your sex. They're inseparably linked. As one lady, I played her clip just last week, she said, I was told that sex was between my legs and gender was between my ears. Well, that's just ridiculous. You're XX female or XY male, and you can't change that. It's on every cell of your body. And so the sooner we yield to God, as the Lord said to Paul, it's hard to kick against the goads. We have people that are kicking against God's word, God's will, God's ways. Romans 1, great example, as Lee pointed out. You know, these people knew about God, but they rejected him. As we continue to do that, we're just going to be, we'll pass that point of no return, and we're going to find out that God is God, and we're no match for God. As my friend Mark Lanier did a series one time, your arms are too short to box with God. And that's where we find ourselves. But a great question, Greg. I appreciate it. We have Connie on the line from Tennessee. Connie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning. There's a couple of things I'd like to talk about. Number one, there's something called the ACE studies, Adverse Childhood Experiences. And when you look at the LGBT community, especially the transgendered, many of them have had many bad experiences growing up, including being molested. Some of the studies show like 90%. And when a child is molested, they're going to have problems with their sexual orientation and their gender identity. Right. And the second thing I want to bring up is I was a student at Liberty University. I wanted to go for my master's in mental health. I had been in a secular school. I switched over. They are teaching this. They are teaching affirmation of this. In one of their books, it says use the pronouns. And I looked into the competencies that we're supposed to have, and the competencies for a counselor is to affirm this horrible lifestyle. Mm. And they also said affirming abortion and euthanasia. This is Liberty University. Mm. And so our Christian, and that's not the only one, Tribeca, other Christian universities, they are pushing this as well. I pulled out. I said, I will not compromise my faith.
Amen for that, Connie. Yeah, I don't know if that was in a book that they would push back on. I the people I know at Liberty would not go for that at all. So that's disappointing to hear that. But you're exactly right. These people have been, so many of the lesbians in the WNBA probably have a background of molestation. Periodically, I get to go to a center here that has incarcerated women in it in Texarkana. And the lady there told me, she said, you know, probably 80-90% of these women have been physically, sexually abused in their childhood. And your heart just breaks for them. And no wonder that they're in the condition that they're in, and they, you know, with drugs and prostitution and those kinds of things, because their lives were so affected as a young girl. And so I'm a dad of three girls, and so the heart of wanting to protect really comes out when you see these women, and I just, you know, want to hold them and hug them and say, hey, it's going to be okay. And but they've been wounded deeply. And, you know, the thing is, so we speak the truth in love. And on the program, I share this a lot, and I tell the church this. I said, listen, when I preach and when I do the radio, it is truth, all in caps, in love, all in caps. But truth is the lead foot. When I talk to someone one-on-one, love is the lead foot. Truth is not diminished by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, if I'm preaching, it's like I'm not talking to you. It's the if the shoe fits, wear it. That's how it works. And on the radio, hey, we're trying to educate people in the truth. But if I'm talking one-on-one to somebody, I'm very gentle with them, because especially if they've been wounded in this area, because I care about them and I feel for them, and God is compassionate and gracious. You see how the Lord Jesus in John chapter 8 dealt with the woman caught in the very act of adultery. He wasn't harsh with her, but he doesn't diminish the truth. What she did was wrong. Hey, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Don't keep doing this. And so I appreciate the call, Connie. I appreciate your stand, and I'm with you on that. Well, let's go to Corey in Texas. Corey, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. God bless you, bud. Love your ministry.
Thank you, brother.
There's a great resource for all the listeners they need to go to and go watch Agenda and Agenda 2 by Curtis Bowers, a dear friend of mine, one of the most godly men I've ever met, who left office. He was a legislator in Idaho to start those documentaries. And there was a book in 1958 that came out by Cleon Skousen, who was high up in the FBI, and they had FBI informants and various communist organizations all over the country, and they had a list of 45 goals to take America down from within.
Yes.
And goal 26, I still remember it, was to normalize homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity. Mm. And the reason they had that goal was because they knew if they could normalize that behavior, they would destroy the family unit by default and thus destroy society. And
yes.
So there's an old phrase by the communist Marxists that the issue is never the issue.
Uh-oh. I think I lost.
This. I'm so glad you're addressing this WNBA situation, but we've got to start everyone speaking up about what's the root cause, what's driving all this confusion and all these kids that all of a sudden, for the first time in history, are thinking they're boys when they're girls and they're girls when they're boys.
Right.
And we know it's back at the school systems starting at the school systems, and also Hollywood's complicit. And lastly, I think it was Stalin that said, if you give me a 5-year-old, I'll give you a communist.
Yes.
These Marxists understand the power of psychology, and they are pushing this confusion on our children, who eventually become adults, and they've bought into that lie. And those adults eventually become leaders, and some of them become legislators, and they normalize this behavior and push it in policies.
Yeah, great. Hey, Corey, those are great points. You need to know, I think we have so many people dealing with symptoms and they're not digging to see what is the root here. And obviously it goes back to the devil. He's the father of lies. The whole world, 1 John chapter 5, lies in the power of the evil one. And he is trying to squeeze the world into its mold, into his mold. And we need to stand up and speak up against that, and we need to deal with the root cause. You're exactly right. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Tomorrow I will invite Randy Halfenbein on the program from Liberty University. And we're going to be talking about the issues. You don't want to miss that. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.